If you would, find a sermon outline in the bulletin. As always, almost always, about every message we do here is way easier if you're looking at the passage of Scripture. We give the outlines because there's different translations, very good translations of the Greek and Hebrew Bible. And yet, it's nice to follow the same translation. So, New American Standard Version is what we typically use here because of its woodenness, accuracy, with connecting words, which are really important, and we'll talk about those today. That's kind of almost the sermon today. Find a sermon guide, if you would, in your bulletin. Mark that up, circle things, underline things, and we're going to dig in to our passage today. Chapter 11, verse 33 of the book of Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. That's a culmination, ecstatic praise from Paul, an ex-terrorist, for God's salvation in his life, in the life of other people that he loves, and his work in the world. And he is adding up, I think, in his mind, it's just overflowing now, all that God has done, is doing, and will do in his life, in the life of those who trust him. How God has taken us and orchestrated things from our inception, and worked and moved in us to bring about saving faith and making us justified, completely forgiven forever, and made as righteous as Jesus is righteous, as a gift by God based on what Jesus did for us on the cross. And Jesus' goodness imputed to us, all that he did on the planet, is given to our account, a righteousness that is the righteousness of God as a gift. And then his indwelling, and his growing us, and his protecting us, and him using every detail of every bad and good thing and, you know, and neutral thing that happens to us for our good, for our growth, and adopting us into his family, and making us a family, and grafting us into the promise of Abraham. And just, you know, just his mind is I think, just overflowing right now, and he just bursts into praise to God. I would that that would be a daily experience in my life. As I read, and I hope this is your practice, not just to use, because this is not going to happen probably with a little devotional guide where they give you a verse and a little story, and that's fine. If you're using that, okay. This is going to happen with going through God's letters to us, one book at a time, in context, in the flow. This is eight chapters culminated in this burst of praise. And so I just want to encourage you at the front end, if you don't have the practice, this staff exists to help you develop that practice, how to have a devotional time in God's Word where you're working through books of the Bible, and you're experiencing this kind of worship and this kind of praise. Why? Because everything we're fixing to read now in chapter 12 and following is totally built on this. This is the foundation and the pinnacle. And if we don't have this, it just becomes like laws. You know, and people look at Christianity and go, hey, you just have a bunch of laws and stuff, stuff you can't do and stuff you're supposed to do. And it just, without praise, without understanding God, without a growing knowledge of God and having this experience of worship on a regular basis, it all just kind of becomes just like laws and principles. And you kind of look at, you know, the rest of chapter 12 and you're going, well, you know, that one might make my marriage better. Maybe I ought to check that out a little bit. And I don't really like that. You know, this loving your enemies thing coming up, nah, that's not working. And we kind of pick and choose, and I guess if I have to, you know. This is the foundation and the pinnacle, verse 34 in the book of Romans chapter 11. All right, so everything we're saying comes from this. Nothing we're saying comes to adding to your salvation. Nothing we're saying comes to solidifying you with God in any way, shape, or form. You're justified by faith in Christ, period. And that's a work of God, and that keeping power is a work of God, and your growth is a work of God, and all of it is a work of God. And everything we live out because of praise and thankfulness. Amen? Okay? That's Christianity. If you got to work for your salvation, that's every other religion. Just choose one of them. They're all the same. Christianity is 180 degrees different, totally based on what Christ has done for us and God's imputing of that to our lives. All right? So from that, we move to chapter 12, verse 1 and following. I am going to give you the flow of thought, and I mentioned these connecting words, how important they are. We're going to look at this passage. We're what's called an expository style church. You're going to see the value of that now. We don't pick and choose little verses that we like and yank them out of context. We don't do that here in small groups or large groups, okay? We're looking at how thoughts connect to each other, and I want to give you an example of that today, and quite frankly, every Sunday. How do we respond to the grace of God, the salvation of God? Number one, verse 33 and following, worship. That's a blank in your bulletin, and if you would, fill that in. It might be filled in already, okay? The depth, the wisdom, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's number one, is worship. Number two, don't move the slides yet. We're going to get to those. Number two is we submit our bodies to God. If God has done this, is doing this, will do this for us, God, take my body, it is yours, use it any way you want to, you indwell it. Number three, that's chapter 8, you indwell my body. Number three, we submit our minds to God. Why? Because I can say, God, take my body and use it however you want to, but if I can't figure out what God wants me to do, what's the point? All right? So I got to submit my mind to God. We're going to talk about that today. And how do I grow in regard to my mind, you know, Christian mental health, if you will? How do I grow in maturity in my mind? Number four is we submit our abilities to God. So work, you know, you can put in spiritual gifts if you want to, but I wanted to be kind of, you know, but your abilities to God. We'll talk about that when we get there. And the idea here's going to be a big idea for some of us. It might be new. And because if you're an American guy like me, you go, okay, let me figure this out. Okay, be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I got my Bible. I got some really good stuff online. I don't really need y'all. All I really need is me. And, you know, and we joke, but that, quite frankly, that's my tendency. In most American males, that's our tendency. We don't really need other people. Why would I go to a small group? I mean, like, messy stuff can happen there. Why would I do any of that kind of, why would I get mixed up with other believers and all their, you know, their stuff and all? You know, I can do this on my own. Now, listen to me. I love you. I'm your friend. And I'm speaking to me, and I'm speaking to you. If that's your attitude, you're arrogant. That's a really bad sin. You're arrogant. I'm going to make that case today, okay? I am being corrected about this through the years. I want to make the case today. Why? Because that's what this passage brings out. One thought leads to the next. So we want to use our abilities, give them to God, and expect God to help transform the minds of one another through my abilities and the next guy's abilities and the next gal's abilities and all of us using those, and God using all those things together in our lives. All right? So that's where we're going. All right? So point number one, how do we respond to grace? Worship. We talked about that last week. Point number two, we submit our bodies to God. Verse one, we talked about this last week as well. I urge you, therefore, brethren, go ahead, if you would, to verse 1. One day we're going to give me the ability to do this, but here's the outline that you have in front of you. Therefore is huge, right? Because of the great salvation we have, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. All right? That's the big idea. The therefore and the by the mercies of God mean the same thing. It's pointing us back to God's great salvation. by the mercies of God. What's the big idea? Submit your bodies, present your bodies to God. Living, don't kill yourself, and don't kill your spouse. Holy, that means set apart. God, this body is set apart. It's a sacrifice to you. It doesn't merit anything, but it's the only reasonable response. Make it acceptable to God, which is your rational, or it can be translated spiritual or rational, and both is true. Your inner rational, only reasonable service of worship, act of worship. All right? Talked about that last week. Here's where we pick it up today. Number three, submit our minds to God. Now, how do we do that? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's the next big command. First big command was verse 1, present your bodies. Next big command in response to God's grace is be transformed. That's the big idea. So be transformed is the main idea here. And then we got this little word, by. How can I be transformed? How can I really be changed? Well, I cannot like certain consequences and alter my behavior to some degree or another because I like better consequences. That's not real transformation. Transformation is the mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. The mind needs to be changed by the renewing. This is a process of the mind, the thinking. Why would we want this to happen? Why is God asking this to happen? That you may prove what the will of God is. We want to know the will of God, what's good, what's acceptable, and what's perfect. All right? So how do we get to know the will of God? We need to transform our minds. Starts with, first step, don't be conformed to this world. Now, why wouldn't we want to be conformed to this world? Isn't this a great environment that we live in from a Christian perspective? We're citizens, we're saying Ancient of Days, we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And God's standards are the standards. And God's morality is the morality. When God says something good is good, it's good. When God says something is bad, it is bad. I don't care what society says about anything. And so when we look at society, you know, we had a little series on the sanctity of things that God sanctifies, that sets apart. When we look at the sanctity of God, that God has set apart, do you see that in society? No, he's either excluded or he's blasphemed. The sanctity of marriage is completely trashed today and getting more and more so. The sanctity of a baby, we celebrate partial birth abortion today. The sanctity of a child, we're told to raise our children gender neutral. We're going to come out really well if we do that, aren't we, as a society? The sanctity of one another. We're in a society of arrogance and lying and cheating, and that's just become the norm, the expected in our society. And I'm talking about our leaders, I'm talking about our media, I'm talking about our friends and our neighbors, and we're just hook, line, and sinker into. If we begin to think and go, well, you know, here's the line, right? Here's the line your kid gives, your grandkid gives, and quite frankly, you give, and me, I give. Well, everybody else is doing it. That's what it is to be molded or conformed by society. And so if we're taking our marching orders from society, we're just in a heap of trouble. So we judge everything by the Word of God. We're to be transformed. So step number one, again, get rid of what society's saying. Look, they're made in the image of God. They have some good stuff. But we judge everything by the Word of God. So we get rid of most of what society is saying, their values, their attitudes, their practice, their language, and we're to be transformed. How does that happen? By the renewing of the mind. The mind needs to be transformed. Billy Graham used a great illustration. I don't know if he came up with that. He may have. When it comes to the Word of God, obviously, this is the thing on the planet, besides God's Spirit, this is the thing on the planet that transforms us. I don't need to make a case for that. It's the Word of God. Okay, when it comes to the Bible, it's a sword. We're to hear it, we're to read it, we're to study it, we're to memorize it, we're to meditate on it. That's the practice that we want as believers. Why do we want to hear it? To help us study it. We're going to talk about hearing it in a moment. To help us study it. Why do we want to, or help us read it and study it? Why do we want to study it? Because we want to memorize it accurately. Why do we want to memorize it? Because all of our waking hours, we're to be meditating on the Word of God. And all of our waking hours, in every scenario we come across, we're applying the Word of God to that scenario. I come in later today, and the unusual happens. The what never happens happens. My wife's grouchy, and what does the Word of God say to me in that scenario? Society says something completely different. Let her have it. Stick up for yourself. God's Word says, "Love her to the hilt. Minister to her." Right? And so, in every scenario, we take in the Word of God. All right. So that's plain. But kind of hang on, okay? There's a little more to the passage than just that. We want our minds renewed. Why do we want our minds renewed? That we may prove what is the will of God. Prove means we can look at things. We got thoughts. We got words from other people. We can check out and analyze and see what's true and what isn't God's will, because that's where we want to be living. We want to be living out the will of God, His good will, His acceptable will, His perfect will from His perspective. All right? And so the Bible has a lot to say about the mind. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Think on the things above. Set your mind on things above, not things of this earth. Philippians 4, 7. Whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and good repute, if there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. We're to choose what we think about. Philippians 2, 5. Have this mind, this way of thinking in you, which was in Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and despised its shame. Okay? Sat down at the right hand of God. Took on the role of a servant. Now, I butchered that, but you got the mind. You know, have the mind of Jesus. Study him. And so our minds were commanded what to think about and what not to think about. Now, check out verse 3, that little word, for. That's a huge word. How does this happen, this renewing of the mind? We kind of made a leap of assumption saying God's going to do it with His Word. I think that's kind of a no-brainer. It's the one thing that's true on the planet, so it's got to be the use of the Word. But through what means? So now, this is where we got to really start thinking. So verse 3. For, that little word right there, that's a huge word. This ties verse 3 to verse 2, okay? So Christian, you're going to lock in, okay, lock in. We like verse 2 by itself. We want to just keep it completely by itself because I can do that. I got a Bible. I can do that. I can do verse 2, right? But that little word right there just totally locks this in. So if I got the arrogance right now going, yeah, I got this thing. Okay, I can transform my mind because I got a Bible. And we constantly, I hear everybody, we quote verse 2. Almost nobody includes verse 3. Why? We don't like it. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Notice the mind, the thinking. But to think as to have sound judgment. So I should not think of myself highly, which might be lending itself in this passage to go, maybe this renewal of my mind is not going to happen just by myself. Notice the connection. Okay, maybe it's not just going to be granted to me when I live life by myself. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. So notice back in verse 2, don't be conformed to this world. That's what you don't do. Be transformed. That's what you do. Notice verse 3, don't think of yourself highly, more highly than you ought to think, but think is to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. What's sound judgment? On the one hand, humility is putting other people up. It's not putting yourself down. So on the one hand, I am created in the image of God. I am loved by God. Jesus did die for me on that cross. I am valuable to God. But I also have a fallen nature. I also have this self-deception on the inside and this nature that doesn't really want me to grow and want me to be obedient to the things of God and really know God that well, because then I'm accountable and I'm going to have convictions and conscience and all of that. So I'm fallen. And so I live in that balance, that sound judgment. And that's going to set up the rest of this passage. As God has allotted to each a measure of faith. That's an important phrase. What do we do with this? A measure of faith. Do people have different amounts of faith? I think faith appears to be, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, faith seems to be a gift that comes from God, our awakening. We're dead. God makes us alive. God gives us the ability to trust Him. That's pretty plain in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. We're dead, but God comes along, verse 4, and makes us alive, gives us the ability to trust Him. But then God takes that faith. You say, is your faith the same as my faith? Is everybody's faith the same? I don't think so, because faith can grow. How does God grow faith? What's faith? First of all, faith is simply trust. Faith, trust, same word. Okay, don't separate the two words. Pistuo in Greek, same word. So how does God grow our faith? Through circumstances and through our application of this passage, God grows our faith. All right? So, no, your faith is not as strong as it's going to be one day. What is faith? The ability to trust Him. Okay? And if we're back to that lifeguard illustration, lifeguard comes out. He doesn't give you a ring to hold on to. He simply says, I want you to relax. I'm going to reach around the top of you. I'm going to just totally relax. I'm going to pull you in. But you and I, we struggle a little bit. We want to help the lifeguard. You know, he just stop. Just relax. Through the course of time, He really does got me. And I can relax more and more and more. That's the same as growing in faith. It's relaxing before God. It's trusting God. Okay? Big, strong lifeguard comes out, but you still can't. You know, you've got to flail and swing and help him out. And, you know, through the course of time, we grow in our trust in that guy as he carries us back to shore. And it's the same with God. So we grow in our faith as God orchestrates things, good and bad, in our lives, and as we avail ourselves to this passage we're talking about today. So as we grow in our trust in God, what's going to happen? Here's the dilemma. In my arrogance, I'll take me. In my arrogance, I got this Christian thing. I got a Bible. I got this thing. But God's going, no, you don't. No, you really need all these other folks out here. God, no, I got this thing. No, you don't. Ed, you're like really, really arrogant. No, you don't got this thing. You need all these other people out here. All right? And that's the so as I grow in faith, I'm growing to agree with God, you know what? God, I need all these other people out here. Okay? That's growing in faith in this passage. All right? So let's just keep going. All right? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Again, you're loved by God. If you've trusted Christ, you're a child of God. You bear the image of God. You know, but you got a fallen nature that it's self-deceptive and self-defeating. And anybody here practice self-defeating practice? What is it called? You have self-defeating practices? We don't want to say so, but yeah, we do. Okay, this is going to hurt me, but I don't really don't care. All right, and we do that kind of stuff. I shouldn't have this attitude, but I shouldn't be angry right now, but I deserve to be angry, and okay, so we got to grow in our ability to see that we need other people. Verse 4, notice that little word in verse 4, hit the wrong one, that little word in verse 4, what is that first word again? Another little connecting word. These are huge words. If your other, the version you're using doesn't have these words, I apologize on behalf of the translators, okay? These are huge words. They connect all of this together. Verse 3. For through the grace given to me, in other words, all that I have is by God's grace, I say to every man among you, and I think he includes ladies as well. Oh, I already did verse 3. Verse 4. I'm sorry. Verse 3. Verse 2. Be transformed. Check it. I want to get you the flow of thought. Okay, verse 2. Be transformed. All right? By the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? Verse 3. Think, use your mind in a sound way. As you grow to trust God, Go his direction. Do what he says. Verse 4, and now here's where you pick it up in verse 4. Yes, it is. I'm not sure what. We got a verse 4, right? We don't have a verse 4? Oh, okay. Let's just leave that right there. That's fine. You got it in your thing. Yeah, that's all I gave to Sandy. Okay, my bad. Sorry. Verse 4 is the same word. 4. A little connecting. It's here in verse 3, and here it is in verse 4. 4, just as we have many members in one body. He's just using a human body. You know, you got a human body. You got all of these different members, fingers and hands and eyes and ears and knees and whatever. You know, we have many members in one body. All the members don't have the same function. You know, my feet function different than my eyes. Okay, don't want to use them the same way. Don't want to confuse them. Okay, different. All, you know, a whole bunch of different body parts. We get that. Pretty straightforward. Okay. In the same way, verse 5, we who are many, that's the church, and I think it's the universal church, but also the local church. He's got to be very much using it as the local church here. I think we'll make that case as we go. We who are many are one body in Christ. We're united to Christ. That little word in Christ, we're one body and individually members of one another. So what is it, verse 3, to think as to have sound judgment? What is that? Well, he introduces the concept in verse 4. We're individually members of one another. That's sound thinking. Bad thinking, unsound, unhinged, I like that word, yeah. Unsound thinking, deranged thinking is, I'm self-sufficient. Sound thinking, if I'm going to trust God, you know, the measure of faith God's given to me, if I'm going to trust God, sound thinking is, we're members together, we're connected to each other. That according to God, I need you. And I don't know, you're a little rough around the edges, and I'm like really rough around more than the edges, okay? Yeah, but we still, according to God, need each other. Verse 6, we're individually members one of another, part of the same body, individually members one of another. Verse 6, connected. Since, it's got a little dag, a Greek word, it just means it's connected to the previous thought. Okay, you can translate it and, or you actually can leave it untranslated, but it's nice to throw it in because it's just a little connecting word. In other words, he's saying this verse 6 is connected to verse 5. Just trust me on that, okay? Verse 6 in Greek is connected to verse 5 with a little word de. Since we have gifts that differ, the we, every member, according to the other passages about spiritual gifts, have gifts that differ. These are abilities God has given to us. A few of them will be listed upcoming. They differ. You have your set of gifts. I have my set of gifts. Each one has different set of gifts, one or more. Why do you have the gifts you have? Why do I have the gifts or abilities I have? It's according to the grace given to us. It's God's grace. I don't know why. He just has selected to give us different types of gifts, and we're to use them accordingly, and that's supply. There's no verb in the Greek language, so you got to kind of supply the verb here. Now, a couple other passages just to set this up. 1 Peter 4, we have these words about these abilities that God gives to us. As each one has received a gift, this is 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. This is in your outline, by the way. You find the passage called 1 Peter, I think it's the next passage down, 4, and look at verse 10. This is, again, we have all three of these passages I'm fixing to bring up quickly in your outline. Okay, so 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, notice each one, every person in the body has at least one gift. One of these abilities, employ it, use it. In other words, you can sit on it or you can use it. God's saying use it in serving one another. It's not about you. It's about the others. Why do you have the gift you have? It's all about the other folks. And we want to supply you the means to be, the venue to be able to do this in. As good stewards, God's given you a gift. Use it. That's stewardship. You're responsible to use it. Of the manifold grace of God, the multifaceted grace of God. It's by God's grace he's given you certain abilities, and me. Verse 11, on the speaking gifts, speak the utterances of God. Don't just go, hey, I got great oratory, and now I'm going to, you know, use it in a different way. I can be an actor. If you're serving, do it with the strength that God supplies. Both of those are built on faith, trusting God, trusting God's word that he'll use it through me, trusting God's power that he'll use that through me as well, so that in all things God may be glorified. What are the spiritual gifts about? Glorifying God and helping each other. Ephesians 4, check out verse 11 and following. God's given leadership gifts. It doesn't call them leadership gifts, but you can kind of see what that's what they are. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For the equipping of the saints. Who are the saints? Everybody made holy by the blood of Jesus. That's all y'all, if you've trusted Christ, if you're trusting Christ. For the work of service. Everybody's to serve one another. To the building up of the body of Christ. It's all about building up, maturing Christ's body, which is growing the transformation of our minds, until we all attain. Now, it's not about you. It's not about me. And that's one of the reasons I can't go, well, I got this Christian thing. Why? Because it's not about me. It's not about me becoming more Christ-like. It's about us becoming more Christ-like. If I don't got that, I'm completely missing Christianity. Does that make sense? Why do I need to go to a small group? It ain't about you. Why do I need to come to any of these gatherings? It ain't about you. It's about the others. It's about all of us together. Okay? And so we all attain to the unity of the faith. There's that word again, the faith. As a result, we're not going to be like kids just tossed all over the place. Verse 15, we speak the truth in love to one another. The whole body does, verse 16, every joint, every part of the body, each individual part. Note, what's he emphasizing here? Every one of us works together with the others to cause the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's what the spiritual gifts are about. One more passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let me draw your attention to verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12. This is also in your handout. A variety of gifts exist. A variety of ministries or services occur from these gifts. A variety of effects or results occur from these ministries. Okay? Welcome to the picture of the church. The church needs to be the venue in which all the gifts can function, that there might be different ministries, that there might be different results. Now, what is a spiritual gift? One of the great definitions is verse 7. To each one is given, notice, every one of us, that you can't say you don't have a gift. How do you discern your gift? You do what God's laying on your heart, and in the course of time, you discover your gift or gifts. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. What's a spiritual gift? God manifesting himself in very simple ways. Why? For the common good. Glorify God, and for the good of everybody. All right? So just a few passages that you can read the rest of those passages on your own time and study them. Let me bring this thing in for a landing by looking at a kind of a taste of these gifts. And quite frankly, I want to just kind of close with this. What might a gifted life group look like? Here we call our small groups life groups. If you can only be part of one thing, we encourage you to be part of a life group. If it's two things, be part of a life group and a ministry. And if you can be part of three things, be part of a life group, a ministry, and a worship gathering, okay? Large group gathering. So why be part of a life group? Just, you know, if we have a gifted life group, we might have these things operating, all right, for the good of everybody, for the glorification of God. The first one listed, and it seems like to be a pretty important thing for Paul, is prophecy. In the Old Testament, the prophets did primarily one thing, and that was they applied God's laws, the first five books of the Bible, to their situation and to the people of their situation. Their nation, other nations, whatever, okay? That's what prophets did. They may have been led directly by God to do so, or sometimes it was just an obvious no-brainer. Didn't need God's leadership so much, it was just obvious what they need to say, okay? But the prophets would take the word of God, the laws of God, the Ten Commandments and the other commandments, and apply them to their scenario. In the New Testament, there's male and female prophets. Joel chapter 2 and other passages make that pretty plain. And so male and female, what do? They take the word of God and apply it to the scenario. You go, well, I've done that. God's used me in that, used me to do that. You know, do I have the gift of prophecy? I'm saying keep doing it and be subject to others. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The end of that passage says the prophets are subject to the others. We help each other out. If we get it wrong, we speak up. Okay, you can read the end of 1 Corinthians 14. But keep doing that. And it might just be a good Christian ability you have to take the Word of God and apply it in a practical way to this church and to the life of our folks. Or it might be that you have the gift of prophecy. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Paul just puts this as a big priority among the gifts. Taking the Word of God and applying it to the scenario. How does that work? Somebody in your small group goes, I've had it with my wife. I've had it. You know, she doesn't cook. She burns this. She blah, blah, blah. You know, she's just, you know, I've had it. And I'm thinking about, I mean, God wants me to be happy, right? And God, I'm just thinking about, you know, and off to the races. And gently, calmly, lovingly, humbly, we put ourselves, you know, a person applying the Word of God puts themselves beneath that person and gently brings them to apply the Word of God to their scenario. Does that make sense? It's prophecy, okay? Whether it's the gift or just the practice, that's what a small group looks like, okay? Notice that little phrase, according to the portion of his faith. There's that word faith again. In other words, the normal tendency is, faith is trust in God. The normal tendency is, well, God couldn't use somebody like me. You know, you're in a small group thing, and a situation comes up, and it becomes pretty plain. God just, by his Spirit, he puts it in your heart, you know, how the Word of God can be applied to this scenario, and to the overall church, or to a person, whatever. And you're going, yeah, but who am I? You know, God couldn't use somebody like me. What is that? That's doubting God. That's doubting God. That's doubting the power of the Word of God. So according to the portion of your faith, faith's a gift of God that God's growing on the inside of you. We got to step out, we got to trust him, and we got to speak. Does that make sense? One who is caught in sin, you go to him and help him out. Matthew 18, verse 15 and following. If one is found in sin and you see it, go to him. Gradually apply the Word of God in a humble way. Okay, et cetera, et cetera. So that's prophecy. A lot more could be said, but that's good enough for right now. Service. We get the word deacon from this. It's just a general serving folks. It could be verbally, it could be physically, just helping other folks out. Everybody's to be doing that. Some have a special gift to kind of inspire the others, okay? Ministry, helping, serving, helping, okay? And that happens in small groups. Teaching. Obviously, we want one or more teachers in each life group, in each small group. And what they do, they teach the Word of God, pretty similar to prophecy, okay? Exhorting in a small group. We got some folks that it's parakaleo. We get the paraclete from that. Sometimes called the comforter. It's the one alongside, kaleo, called. One called alongside. It's walking alongside somebody else to help them out. It might be comfort. It might be exhortation. It might be just a word of encouragement. Any of those things fit that category. Okay? And so some of us, all of us are called to do it. Some of us are kind of have a special gift in that area. We teach and inspire the others. The gift of giving. Needs arise as you get to know people. Giving of time, giving of money. I want to do that liberally. And so some have a special gift to inspire the rest of the group. Gift of leading. Groups need to be organized. It's not just about coming together to teach, but you want to organize, especially to kind of watch out for each other. It takes organization to do events and to do evangelism outings and all that kind of thing. So we need leaders as part of a small group, people that can organize and kind of manage and guide. And then the gift of mercy. If you got, I pity the group that has only prophets and nobody with a gift of mercy, okay? That's rough, okay? You know, obviously applying God's word needs to be done, in a merciful way, but you know how it goes sometimes, you know. So we want those folks that they just have this heart to draw the rest of us going, hey, man, we just got to cry with this person right now. There's no place for a correction right now. You know, I just feel the Spirit of God telling me, we just need to gather, and we just need to cry for this person. This person's in pain, okay? That's the, you know, and some people are, have the extra gift, and some of us don't, being really, really merciful. All right, everybody got it? Okay? And so God uses these abilities. Now, back to the big, again, I know we're at time. How does this apply? Submit our bodies. We live a life of worship. We submit our bodies to God. How do we know how to use our tongues and our bodies? Because we're submitting our minds to God. And we're to transform those minds, have God transform those minds. You know, how does that happen? How can we think in a sound way? Well, the bedrock of thinking in a sound way is we're members of one another. We need one another. And he gives us an example of how one another can be at work in each other's lives, and that is through these gifts that can function very well in a small group setting. Now, as you pray through, and this is your homework, as you pray through these gifts today and tomorrow and these upcoming days, what would happen inside of you if you actually became a member of a small group of people? And maybe not all these gifts were functioning, but some of them were. Would that accelerate Christian mental health? Would that accelerate growth of the mind to be able to discern the will of God? Because we're out of time, I'm not going to share these things, but I'm ready with numerous stories of life by myself versus life with a serious small group. And it's a marked difference in the growth curve. And I can tell you, when I am in a serious small group of folks that are really loving on each other and ministering to each other, you know, that growth curve in the mind is going, and it's got a good upward trend. When I, for whatever reason, I'm not so much a part of a small group, or it's not a very dynamic, really ministering to each other small group, it tends to plateau. And it's very, very linked. And you just see if this is not the case in your life. Very, very linked to my interaction with other believers in a scenario where the gifts can function. All right? That's trust in God. And that's the evidence, at least in my life, of God's word being true. Father, we give you thanks for this grace that we enjoy today. We got life groups upcoming. And Father, we pray that you would guide our life groups in a way where they grow more and more to be able to minister the gifts, not just be a point of teaching, but truly minister the gifts in their settings, in their gatherings. Thank you for those groups meeting in homes. Thank you for those groups meeting in this church building today and through the week. And pray, Father, that you would continue to mature and grow our small groups. The gifts might function well and according to your guidance. And we also pray for each one of us that you would guide us into appropriate esteem of your plan, that it's through time together where the gifts are operating that our minds are transformed primarily. Thank you, Father, for the great privilege to be able to be part of a group of believers that is focused on you and focused on your word and through which you bring growth in our lives. If you've not trusted Christ, I beg of you, I plead with you to speak these words to him from your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on that cross. Thank you for paying the penalty of every sin I've ever committed, every act of rebellion, every act of disobedience, and just not trusting you and worshiping you. Forgive me. I turn from my arrogance. I turn to you. I want to know everything about you, and I want to begin to follow every way that you give to me. I'm tired of being transformed by this world. I want to be transformed by you and your truth through the body, through the Word of God. Have your way in me. I trust you. From this day forward, no turning back. I surrender my body, my mind, and all that I have to you. I trust you as Savior and Lord. Have your way in me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing a verse if we could.
We do Revelation song, just a verse and a chorus.
This area is open as we sing. If you want prayer for anything, come on down.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
God bless you. God make you a blessing. This area remains open.